Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Let me once more this morning direct you to the assigned lesson for today, St. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, the 19th to the 23rd verses. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, I recall some years ago stopping at a wayside shop in Austria at the foot of the Alps and chatting with the aged proprietor. He had lived through two wars and knew firsthand the dislocations that war brings, the agony, the misery, and the suffering. And he told me that there was one thing for which he was praying in his old age: peace, everlasting peace. I can still hear those words as they rolled off his tongue. Friede, ewige Friede. I'm afraid he was chasing a will-o'-the-wisp, because that kind of peace is unattainable. It's not that his working for peace and his praying for peace was out of order, not at all. For our Lord expects his disciples to work and pray for any righteous cause. But our Lord also expects us to be realistic, recognizing the evil that is in men's hearts, their basic selfishness, their desire for personal and national aggrandizement. Moreover, he himself has told us that until the end of time, we must expect wars and rumors of war. And yet, there is a peace to be found, a peace that our Lord wishes his disciples to have, and one that he himself provides. It is of that peace that he speaks in this text, which takes us back to Jerusalem on the first Easter evening. This peace is a more basic peace and a more important peace than that old storekeeper in Austria was seeking, for it is a peace between God and man. It breaks down the barrier that man erects when he violates God's command. It breaks down that barrier that first arose in the garden when our parents turned their backs on the Lord. And it comes to us in much the same way that peace came to our first parents after they had hidden themselves from God. For just as God sought out Adam and Eve and spoke to them the promise, so our Lord comes to us and speaks the promise of peace that comes through the forgiveness of sin. Note in our text how the risen Jesus connects the promise of peace with the forgiveness of sin. Now, it is to proclaim that peace that you and I are called. But we must first start with ourselves, and the promise must be our very own. There's a great danger in professionalism, the danger of dealing so often with God's word and with his promises that all of this becomes merely academic. No wonder it is so hard for a pastor to be saved. It's not just a matter of knowing the word and the promises, but they must be believed And that comes only through the power of the Spirit whom our Lord invoked on his disciples that first Easter evening. So we must know our sins and also know our Savior. And then when we have made that faith our very own, we are to go out and to proclaim it to others. We are to announce to them the full and free forgiveness and bring them the peace that passes all understanding. To prepare you for that role and to assist you in that role is one of the purposes of our summer session. We welcome you here this morning, and we are happy that so many of you were able to join our seminary community this summer. We speak a special word of welcome to the members of the mission training program who will be preparing on this campus to go out to the very ends of the earth to bring the message of this peace and forgiveness to those who do not know it. And so all of you are here to learn more about God's way with men so that you can become more appreciative of the forgiveness of sins and better equipped to proclaim it. But it's not only a study of the Word that is to occupy your attention these weeks. There is also worship, both corporate and private. For this Christ, who has won forgiveness for us and has proclaimed it, is to be praised and worshiped in our daily chapel services and also in the privacy of your room. Not all of the disciples were present when our Lord appeared. One of the most poignant sentences in the scriptures is the verse which follows our text. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not there when Jesus came. Thomas was troubled. For him, all hope had ended on Good Friday. He was seeking a peace that would replace that shattered hope. But he was seeking it in the wrong way. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to work out his problem apart from the community of the believers. And so he missed the Lord's promise of peace. He missed his assurance of forgiveness and the visible tokens of his resurrection. So that Thomas was forced to spend another week torn between his desire to believe and his fear of being deceived once more. A great many Christians are like Thomas in that they miss much when they are not present when Jesus comes. That happens also to pastors and to seminarians. They're not always absent because they're discouraged and distressed. Often they are absent because they think that there are more important things to do. They miss the peace that comes not only through the Word, but also in worship. They don't see their sins as God sees them, and consequently they don't hear the promise of forgiveness. As we begin this summer session, my prayer is for a special measure of God's Holy Spirit on all of us. May He enlighten our hearts and minds so that we may grow in a knowledge and understanding of His Word. And may He fill our hearts with the assurance of that peace which passes all understanding, that peace which alone can come through the forgiveness of sin. Amen.